So it's good to be here, and it always is, but this morning when I left Abilene, I had a little doubts, you know. Sometimes I always think about what's going to happen on the Sunday that my tire blows out. I don't know. So everybody has a plan, I hope, for that. But today was a good ride over. Sun came up. It was beautiful. And the earth woke up again, and so did we. It's good to be here. We're starting a new series called Born Again. And I've been on this idea for, I guess, about 3 months. And I've got notes in my phone, on napkins, in my house, in a spiral notebook, at home, everywhere, about where we're headed and what we're going to do. And it continues to kind of change a little bit. But one of the things that's going on in my life is I have a Bible study I go to on Wednesday night. And five guys show up. You know what? Y'all know what I mean? You've been the one who showed up and sometimes the one who didn't. And so we're reading through one chapter a week of certain books in the Bible, and we're on John. This week we're on John 21. We're in the last chapter of John this week. And I remember when we read John 3, a few weeks after that, I kind of wanted to go back because we can't ever really get through a whole chapter of John in one setting. That's really crazy that we would even attempt it, but we do. But I asked the guys, because we're going to be in chapter 3 today, I asked the guys, what does it mean to be born again? And these guys are all pretty much all their life kind of Christians. Some of them teachers, Bible teachers, missionaries. And, man, there was so much, And that's where I was in some way. So I've been on this in my mind. And for some of the things I'm going to say, they may be raising more questions than they are giving answers. And so, you know, don't hunt me down outside and, you know, hold me to anything because I'm flexible, okay? You know, I'm a learner as well. And so, but I do think it's an idea that Jesus, these words come out of Jesus' mouth. They are other places also in the New Testament. And we're going to lunge in and we'll see where it takes us. One of the thoughts I had about God and the idea of us being born again. And it made me think of being born the first time. And that first time, have you ever heard someone tell a story of your birth? Like your parents, have they ever told you kind of what it was like when you were born? Kind of give me some feedback here, you know, like yes, no, thumbs up, yeah, kind of. My dad tells the story of my birth to me over and over and over again. And so I can kind of pick up along the way because it was exciting for him. He was, mom was, of course, pregnant. And she was going to have the baby in San Saba, Texas, where her father, the physician there, was going to deliver me. Also delivered Sally and my other sisters in San Saba. And dad was in the Army, and the Korean War was happening, and he was in Washington State getting ready to deploy to Korea. And he did some fast talking and thinking and got postponed his deployment so he could come to my birth. And there's a whole story about how he gets from Washington on trains and planes and automobiles and gets to San Saba, and I'm born. and my uncle. I've got evidently hair all over my body, and Dad's brother says, "Ooh, he's the missing link." And so he tells the story of my birth to me. I've heard it quite a few times, and I know, Dad, you're going to listen to this in a minute. It's all okay. I love to hear you tell that story. But I wonder about this. I wonder what it'd be like for God to tell the story of your second birth. What it would be like for God to tell the story of the day and the moment that you were born again. That's just a thought. I know my dad is a proud dad of me and my sisters. I mean, he's proud of his kids. And I believe God is this way of all of us. So let's pray, and then we'll jump into today, John 3. God, open up our hearts and minds as we just consider your truth and how you would want us to know you better. Open up to us and our hearts and our minds the idea of what it is to be your child. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, born again, see the kingdom. So here we go. First of all, there's a context to this, as always. And the context is that Jesus came to a culture, Jewish culture, who under the oppression of the Romans, they were slaves, or, you know, they were definitely not, they were under the Roman rule. And the expectation that the Jews had was that a Messiah was going to come. And the Messiah, the anointed one, the Lord, the King, what he was going to do. One of the things he was going to do is he was going to set the Jews free from the Romans. This was top number one thing on their agenda. And then he would set up a kingdom. And he would have set up a kingdom like David did. And some of the prophets had pointed to that. That he was going to set up a kingdom for David did. And you know how this happens. Often our expectations shape our understanding. Sometimes our understanding, you know, shapes our expectations. I had certain expectations. When my gas gauge is on E, I understand that maybe I'm going to run out of gas. You know, I understand that, and I expect certain things because of what I understand. But sometimes our expectations shapes our understanding, and the Jews had these expectations of what was going to happen, and it limited in some ways their understanding of what the moment was going to be like. But they were waiting for this Messiah, the one we just sang about, Jesus Messiah, the Lord of Lords, right? That's what they were thinking too. But they were thinking a little bit small, and so Jesus encounters a Pharisee, one of the Jews, one of the smartest men in Judea at the time, and he came at night, and let's just read John 3. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him." And then Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born again." We'll get to that. We'll go back to that. That's the main point today. But I love this next verse. John 3, verse 4. "How can anyone be born again when they're old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Oh, you get the ridiculousness of this question? Jesus could have done that just like that. Let me show you how that can happen. I mean, the first birth is pretty amazing, isn't it? I mean, if that's not a miracle, I mean, Jesus could have done that. Just like he said, I'm going to forgive this man's sins who was let down through the roof. He said, well, you don't think I can forgive his sins? What about if I make him get up and walk? I mean, Jesus could have done this. But he had a different thing in mind. And so Jesus says to him, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born again. We're going to talk today about what it is to see the kingdom of God. For one thing, already Nicodemus' mind is blown with the born again thing. And then he also has a pretty solid expectation and understanding of what the kingdom of God is. And so, but he says, you can't see it unless you're born again. And the word see here means, you know, understand or experience. Kind of like we would say, I would say something to Maddie here on the front row. And I would say, I like it when you sit on the front row because you take notes. And then I would say how I like that because your mother's doing the same thing over here on the second row. And I would say, do y'all see what I mean? You see what I mean? I see what you mean, you know? What is it? I see this. I understand it. And there's some things that you can't explain. Have you ever experienced something that you couldn't explain? So it's not just the understanding that you could explain, but it's something that you, here's something that I think is difficult, if not impossible, to explain, and that is, I'm going to go with this, the first kiss. You know, it's good. What makes it good? I can't really explain that. It just is. Or even more, maybe the anticipation of that first kiss. You know, when you know it's going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet, but it's about to happen any second. And y'all can just ask Mary Beth about that. She knows. That expectation, that feeling that I can't really explain this, but it's good. And this is where we are. Nicodemus was, and I think in some ways we are too. But the idea is that what he's getting here to first has to do with seeing the kingdom. Because Nicodemus had an idea about what the kingdom was. And we have an idea about maybe what God's grace is and being born again is. And I want to say this about God's grace, and this is about being born again also. Grace of God is more than a second chance. And why it always bothers me to say it's a second chance, because it's not just a second chance. It's a third chance. Y'all with me on that? And it's a fourth chance. And it's a fifth chance. And you know, if you multiply 7 times 70, it's 490 chances. I mean, it's more than a second chance. It is. But being born again is about starting over. It's a new life that's going to begin. It's making all things new. And receiving grace, that kind of grace to start again, fresh slate, again and again and again, that's what it is to be born again. And so people who are born again see the kingdom of God. Now, some people didn't. And I would have to say, many times I would raise my hand there too. I don't understand it or experience or see it either. But for sure, Nicodemus didn't. Nicodemus, it seems, eventually became a follower of Jesus. Nicodemus helped bury Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus buried Jesus. So he stuck with him kind of through this, but kind of in the background. And so He's not the only one, though. You know, James and John didn't understand the kingdom of God either. Because the two of them and their mom went to Jesus and said, "Can I sit on your right? Can I sit on your left?" Matthew, Mark, and Luke blame the mom. John just says it's the boys themselves, you know. "Can I sit on your left and can I sit on your right?" And Jesus says, "You don't get the kingdom. You don't see the kingdom." Had they been born again? What is it to be born again? So one thing that happens when you're born again, you see the kingdom. Well, Peter didn't get it either. All the way to the end. So in the garden, when the soldiers come to arrest Jesus, he pulls out a sword and whacks a guy's ear off. He thought, "This is the kingdom fight. We've been ready for this, you know. Let's go. I got my sword." It wasn't that kind of kingdom. He didn't see the kingdom. And one of my favorites is the story is that one of the crowd in Nazareth when Jesus went back to preach there the first time in Luke 4. And so he comes to preach, and they've heard about him. They've heard, "Dude, this guy has been doing miracles. Woo! We're going to see what he's a carpenter's kid. He grew up from here. We're proud of him." And he reads from Isaiah. And he reads this passage from Isaiah. And it's as they had understood it, it was a very nationalistic passage. It said, "When the Spirit of the Lord is on me to release the prisoners, to heal the sick." I mean, this passage, and for decades, centuries, they had read this like, "When this dude comes, we're taken back, we're taken over again." Okay? And so when he finished reading it, he set the scroll down, and they all said, "Wow, you are awesome. We love you. You're great. You're such a great boy, and you were raised right here, right in our hometown. You ate down at the Denny's. I remember that, you know." And then he says, "Yeah, y'all aren't really listening. You're not really paying attention. I've never had the guts to do this in a sermon. To, you know, when somebody after I'm leaving, somebody says, 'Hey, that was good, Bob.' I said, 'Oh, you don't even know what I was saying. You misunderstood the whole thing, you knucklehead.' You know, I could not do that." But that's what Jesus said. And he said, "You won't even believe it when," like the story in the Old Testament, when this woman was sick Elijah went and healed this one woman, and she wasn't even a Jew. And at that, they just wanted to kill him. They did not understand what the kingdom of God was. They had their own preconceived idea because they hadn't been born again. So me, I didn't understand it either. I didn't see the kingdom because you know what I thought the kingdom of God was? And this is even post-baptism. So we're going to get in the next few weeks, we're going to get into some stuff about the Holy Spirit and about baptism. So just hang on to your tickets because it's coming. But me, I thought for sure my duty as a son of God in the kingdom of God, number one, was to be a good boy. You know, just be a good boy. That you need to be a good boy. And usually this meant, you know, don't cuss, don't drink, don't smoke, don't do bad things with girls, and go to church as often as possible. And that is what it means to be in the kingdom. And the other thing is to save the Baptists, because they were wrong. And the way to do it was through debate. You know, you just explain it to them, tell them how their points of view are wrong, and that's being in the kingdom of God. That was me. I didn't see the kingdom of God. Jesus says to Nicodemus, to see the kingdom of God, you've got to be born again. So being born again is a beginning. And it's a beginning of new life with Christ. And one of the ways our new life in Christ, And this term in Christ is going to come along with some more teachings as we do this series. This in Christ, we see things. We not only see the kingdom of God, but we see everything differently. It changes our perspective. It changes our understanding and our expectations that I've already talked about. It changes all that, and they're made new. They're not improved. You know, we're not making an adjustment. We're getting, it's new, like birth. And so one example of this is how we view people and also how we view Christ. So one of the companions to this born-again stuff is the idea of new life. And this is what Paul wrote in Corinthians. So from now on, this means after we're born again, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, even though we once regarded Christ in that way. You know, get it? We regarded Nicodemus. He regarded Christ with this worldly point of view. James and John, they saw Christ in this worldly point of view. Me, I saw him talking about this worldly point of view, that being in the kingdom of God meant being in the church of Christ. And so that meant, because I saw things from a worldly point of view. And once we regarded Christ in that way, but if anyone is in Christ, the new creation, that's what I was when my uncle called me the missing link. I was a new creation. I'd been born, and this is us, born again. The new person, you know, the new Sally, the new Danny, the newborn, the born again. That's how we are. The old is gone. And the new has come. We're born again. And this leads us up to a couple of things. One, we're going to read in 1 Peter in just a minute, and I don't have it on the slide, so if you got a Bible, you might want to read it, because it's going to be a scripture we keep coming back to, 1 Peter chapter 1. These four things for sure are going on in a person's life who's born again. Number one, saved. You know, this text we're reading here, this conversation. At the end of the conversation, Jesus lays this out. What do you think? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. We're saved. A born-again person is saved. Not saved because they've made a choice, but saved because God's made a choice. Most of you didn't have much to do with your birth. I didn't say, you know, Mom, I think I want to be born on January 22nd. Can you arrange that for me? Not up to me. Actually, it wasn't up to Mom, too, because if she had had her choice, she would have had me on January 21st, because she was in labor for over 20 hours. So, you know, Mom would have voted for a different day too, but it wasn't her choice. And so we're chosen. Now we have some decision making going on. We'll get to that also. There's some decisions on our part, but we're chosen and we're saved. And we're saved from our old lives. We're saved from our old lives and we're forgiven. We're forgiven from all of our sins. To be born again is a fresh start every day. Forgiven of our sins past, our sins present, our sins future. And we're delivered. We're delivered from, one thing we're delivered from, and there's several things, but it is our evil desires. A person who's born again is delivered from their evil desires. God gives us a new heart. And he gives us, and our new heart loves different things than our old heart. A born-again heart loves doing good. A born-again heart loves your neighbor as yourself. Our old heart loved ourselves. And we're sanctified. We're transformed. we're made holy, we're transformed, our instincts are transformed, our habits are transformed, our mind, our heart is transformed. This is where I want to read from 1 Peter. And this is interesting because I'm looking, you know, I've been at this a bit, and so all the different places where the term born again is used, I read them, and they're not that many, by the way. But maybe more than you think. I don't know what you think. But 1 Peter 1:22. He's describing these people. He's describing to his audience what their life ought to be like, their lifestyle. He said, now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other. Born again, people have sincere love for each other. Love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again. Not of perishable seed, but imperishable. We'll get to that in a few weeks. Through the living and enduring word of God. You've been born again through the living word of God. For all people, and he quotes, all people are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves. This is where we're going to be changed. I love the song we sang just a minute ago. Healed, delivered. We're going to rid ourselves of malice and deceit and hypocrisy and evil and slander of every kind. And then this is it. Like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk so that you may grow up into your salvation. Whoa, all these things blowing my mind. He says, I want you to grow up because you're born again and now you're a newborn baby. Born again people are going to grow. We're not going to stay the same. We're going to grow. We're going to change. We're going to grow. And he says, grow up into your salvation. Like, I'm saved, now I need to grow into it. Does that make sense? This is who I am. I'm a saved person. I need to grow into that person to become the person that I already am. Whoa! That's what I do when I get excited. I hit myself in the head. And he says this, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. It's like this, like there's this thing that where God has saved us, and now we're growing into that salvation. We're born again. He saved us. And now we're craving pure milk like newborn babies growing up into who he's created us, he's destined us to be. Woo! I'm pretty pumped about that, you might think. That's where we're going to start. We got more to go. But I love this song that we're going to sing, Mighty to Save, because he is and he has. So let's stand and sing together. Now I have a closing word.